Thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your life will be touched by the Spirit of Almighty God with constant and powerful truths that can be applied to your everyday life. Let's join Pastor Ashley Ellison now.
Over 10 years ago, I heard Katie Couric, for those of you may know that popular name on television. She's in the news again because of her piece on gun control. It's quite humorous if you've followed any of that. But anyway, Katie Couric on national television, she said the word for this generation over 10 years ago, the word for this generation is tolerance. And I watched over the last 10 years. I mean, the day she spoke that, it wasn't a week or two later and I had a sermon on tolerance. And I've never quit teaching on this topic since she said it 10 years ago because it's just been the forefront of my thought. I didn't want to think she was right, but she was. That is the word for the last 10 years. It's been tolerance. Tolerance, tolerance. And we have made that a national agenda here in the United States to tolerate everything except for the side note, Christianity. We'll tolerate everything. And here's the thing. I knew when she said that, if the country got a hold of that word, we were in trouble. Here's the sad thing. I have drove all over the United States, and I have seen on signs, Christian school, or not Christian schools, but at schools, with the thought that this was the right thing, like it's a Christian thing, to put on their signs, our word for the week is tolerance. There are school teachers in this body of believers that came up and said, Pastor, our word for the week is tolerance at school. And so we're teaching kids that it's very important to tolerate everything. Now, I understand this. I'm not here to teach on tolerance. I'm just here to say, I can understand a little bit of tolerance when someone's smacking their gum or slurping their coffee. Come on, can you just give me a little tolerance here, please? See, I understand all of that, that side of tolerance. And if that's what we were talking about, it'd be okay. But what we have taught is to tolerate sin. And I'm just here today to tell you that is what is getting us in trouble. Tolerating what God said you don't tolerate. We sat back over the last 10 years and watched people act and do whatever they want. And now not only are we tolerating sin, we're legislating it. Come on, that's what we're doing. So we've watched this word tolerance grow and grow, and now it's just a part of our vocabulary. And so we've got to the point now of accepting boys' and girls' bathrooms. President Obama on Wednesday, June 1st, this past week said, and I quote, my reading of Scripture, when President Obama says that, I'm quick to listen. But here's what he said. My reading of Scripture tells me that the golden rule is pretty high up there in terms of my Christian belief. Matthew 12:7 is the golden rule. Do unto others you have them do unto you. All right, so I'm thinking, huh. He was stating this to promote his transgender bathroom directive, and he was stating it as a Christian to undermine Christians. He's saying, come on, guys, you need to tolerate some things here. That's what he was saying. Let me just tell you, transgenderism was never a part of God's design. Jimmy was sharing with me that less than 0.3 of the population, do I have that right? In the United States of America is transgender. Why are we pushing something that has less than 0.3 of our population even identifying? There's a big word. President Obama was using Scripture to justify what is being done against Scripture. There's a problem with that. There's a problem with that. Here's what you'll hear on the news and being talked about all the time now. It's our new phrase for the new generation, and I've not heard someone just come out like Katie Couric did and say, our new word is tolerance. But let me just tell you, for the next 10 years, this will probably be what I'm talking about. I'll go back to tolerance, and now I'll go on to this one. You'll hear this phrase, identify as a, and then you fill in the blank. And if they're a man, they might say, I identify as a woman. Have you heard this phrase on the news? The word identity. The word identity. Church, today, the title of my sermon is called Identity Crisis, because we're in one. We've got an identity crisis. It's all about how they identify and who they identify as. And I feel it's important today for us to talk about this, because it's on the news, it's what's going on, and the way I see the position God has called me to as pastor of the church is to make sure God's people are thinking right on issues that we're facing every day. We've got to think right, we've got to have the right mind, we've got to have the right heart on what we're seeing in the news. Otherwise, if the Christians don't have the right heart and the right mind, when are we ever going to expect the world to? So I want to talk about these things. Identity means, and let me just tell you, young people, you're going to face this a lot over the next 10 years. It'd be well that you pay attention today. Parents, help me with that. Identity means the fact of being who or what a person or thing is. A person's identity or a thing's identity is the fact of being who or what a person or thing is. So today I'll ask you this question. What's your identity? You are what you are. Amen. That's the definition. You're the fact of being who or what a person or thing is. It's the fact of being who or what you are. Okay, I am a 5'11". I used to be 6 foot. My wife don't believe me, but I think I was. I am a white 5'11" American male. Fact is, that's the way it is. I am married. I have 2 kids, and I live in Missouri. And if I need to prove my identity, I have photo ID, a fingerprint, dental records, and a lot of other records that says this is who I am. Fact is, that's just who I am. Have you heard the term identity theft? Yeah. Identity theft. What is that? That's when someone steals your identity and uses your identity to purchase or get things that should only belong to you. Your credit line, your what? People use your identity saying that they're you when they're not you. And the fact is, they stole your identity. They identity theft. Nobody wants that. Has anybody here ever faced that? Identity theft. See, okay, good. Statistically, 1 out of every 10 people deal with this. Identity theft. It's a bad deal. So do you know today you can get your identity stolen? Yeah. In one sense. But in another sense, they can't really take it from you because you still are who you say you are and who you are. You are. I mean, you're who you are. As much as you may not want to be, you are who you are. So here's my question today. Can you change your identity? A lot of questions, because I want you to think about this. The answer used to be a resounding no. You can't change your identity. You are who you are. Until over the last few years, where we've accepted this word tolerance, and now our society believes something different. Yes, you can change your identity. Why could you not just 10 years and then for the 1,000 years before that change your identity, but now you can? Well, medical technology says that you can now do that. You can't change your identity. See, the answer used to be no, and church, I'm here today to tell you, you still can't. You can change some things about it, but you're still who you are. You're still who you are. We're given privileges in society based on someone saying they are something that they are not. Now, I want you to follow me, because I just want to talk a little more about this to where we get a hold of what this means, the definition, and we can really understand this. See, you can change certain parts of your identity. I get that. You can have your identity stolen, but you are still who you are. You're who you are. Deal with it. Well, I don't like me. You're you. There's nobody else but you. See, I cannot become Chinese. I just can't. I cannot become 6'7". 6'7" tall. I can't do it. I mean, there's just things. I cannot be 5 years old again. See, I can't be a woman. All of those things, you would say, okay, let me just ask you this question. Do you think that I'm Chinese? What if I tell you I'm Chinese? Yeah. What if I say I'm 6'7" tall? How tall are you? A lot of you do this at the driver's license bureau. Not with your height. Come on. I'm sure some cops just get that and look at it. I'm hoping it'll get me out of a ticket one day. The humor that my... The thing is, you are who you are. And you can write whatever you want on that driver's license deal. The scales tell the truth. See, if I told you I was 6'7", you'd go, yeah, right. If I told you that I was 5 years old, you'd say, no, you're not. Or you'd say, well, maybe you act that way. But see, there's... and timing is everything, baby. For men who say they identify as a woman, they can change their identity, but they are not a woman. No more than I'm Chinese, 6'7". So I don't get that. Here's the thing. We have got to this point, because I've been watching videos on this galore, and I wanted to play some for you this morning because it's just humorous. People would come and they would ask people, they would say, what would I tell you if I told you that I was a woman? And it's a man asking college kids on a college campus. What would you tell me if I said I am a woman? This is a man asking this question to the college-age kids. They would say, well, I would believe you. So what would you say if I told you that I'm Chinese? And he's truly white, just like me. And they would say, well, I would have to say, well, I want to see some of your ancestors. And you don't really look it, but I guess if that's what you say. And then he said, let me tell you this. I want you to know I'm 6'7". What would you say if I told you that? And they said, that'd be a hard one. What would you say if I told you that I'm 5 years old? I don't know. What would you say if I told you I'm 5 years old and I want to go and be in kindergarten? Well, I guess if that's what you needed to do to... What would you say if I told you... Let me go back to the first question. What would you say if I told you that I'm a woman? Why can you tell me no to 4 or 5 other things, but you can't tell me no to the one? You know all the others are wrong. What is making you not say the first one is wrong? Are y'all getting what I'm talking about today? See, that just don't make any sense to me at all, how for men to say that they are something that they're not, and we're trying to legislate this so that people who say they're something they are not can do things that they shouldn't do. It's dangerous, and it needs to be talked about from the pulpit. Personal identity is defined two ways, and it has two different views. As I have looked up the word identity, everybody would agree it's the fact of you are who you say you are. Everybody gets that. That's what identity is. But when you look up personal identity, you can see it's defined two ways because there are two different views to personal identity. There's a worldview and there's a biblical view. Let me give you them. A world definition of personal identity is the concept you developed about yourself that evolves. I love that word, evolves over the course of your life. It's the concept you developed about yourself that evolves. It's the concept you develop about yourself. It says you had a part in it. But then the next sentence in their definition of a worldview says this may include aspects of your life that you have no control over. Let me repeat that and see if that hits anybody like it does me. Personal identity is the concept you developed about yourself that evolves over the course of your life. And this includes aspects of your life that you have no control over. Well, how can you develop something you have no control over? That makes absolutely no sense to me whatsoever when I read that. I think the world things that they write and they say, I'm amazed by. See, such as you grew up or the color of your skin as well as the choices you make in life, but then they have in parentheses, not including your gender. You can choose your gender. And how you spend your time and what you believe. You see, biblically, your personal identity, you are born with the sin nature of Adam. This is a biblical view of personal identity. And so you are born with the sin nature of Adam, which means that you are prone to sin. Therefore, when you come to the age of recognizing that you can't do anything about your sin nature, you're in need of a Savior. Praise God, we have one. Jesus went to the cross. You come to the realization of what the cross represents, and you die to your sin nature, and you're born again into a new person that now their identity doesn't matter. I'm going to identify with Christ. Do you see the difference? There's a worldview and there's a biblical view. Here's the lie that our society teaches. People's identity is rooted in their identifications, what they associate themselves with. For an example, an American person identifies himself or herself as an American. Would you agree with that? I mean, yeah. An American person identifies himself or herself as American. For example, that becomes part of the American person's identity. I'm an American. That's my identity. The same person might identify themselves as male or female, a member of a particular religious group, a brother or sister, a child, an employee, etc. Such personal beliefs may have no basis in reality. They may have no basis in reality and often taken at face value by the people who hold them are different from the way people see them. And so I'm thinking, now we got to see someone and let them think they're someone they're not, because at face value, they're not that. But we've got to let them, because it's their personal identity, say, this is who I am. Such people act on mistaken or irrational beliefs. And they are not only creating problems for themselves, they're creating problems in our society. And somebody needs to call it out. Okay, does identity evolve or does it develop? Or is it evolved, is it developed, or is it just what it is? Well, the answer to that question is yes and no. Yes, it does evolve. Yes, it does develop. Yes, it can change. And yes, it is what it is. Well, Pastor, that don't make any sense at all. Let me explain this. Identity is made up of several things. And I've went to 100 places to come up with what I'm talking about today. I've been working on this a while. So I may not have an inclusive or an all-inclusive list of things that are associated with identity. But overall, this is what the majority of them all contain. Identity is made up of culture or class. Culture or class. So middle class, upper class, lower class, hand of the plow type of guy. Culture, class, whatever. In Honduras, I see a different class and culture than I do in America. See, your identity would be based on a culture or class. Your identity could also be made up of national identity. You're American, you're Australian, you're Canadian, whatever you are, but that's one of the identities, your national identity. Another one is your profession. Part of my identity is my profession. I'm a pastor. There are times when I'm in certain environments where people know me as a singer. And so when I was known as a singer, or other environments, they know me as a business owner for something that I provide services for them for. Whatever it is, my identity sometimes is different depending on where I'm at based on my profession. Everybody would get that and understand that. Another part of your identity is your gender. Male or female. Another part is your sexual identity. Now, I don't like to include that, but society does. And so we're talking about it, and this is what they say. Sexual identity is lesbian, gay, bisexual, transsexual, which one you fit into. By the way, there's 15 more we can add on to that, but those are the main four. So that's what's your identity? Well, I'm none of those four. Be careful. Religious identity. Baptist, Methodist, non-denominational. No, that's just evangelical. There's Buddhist, there's Muslim, there's atheist, which atheist isn't religion. Yeah, it's a religion. They believe that they believe in nothing. So there's a belief. And then identity is made up of ethnic background. Black, white, race, territory, language, genetics. See, all of these make up your identity. The thing is, not all of them are changeable, and this is where we're running into a problem. I appreciate your following me today. See, what happens is we are now tolerating sin, so we're allowing ourselves to change things that were once not changeable. Now, there's certain things about your identity that you can't change, and for years, you've never been able to change. The first one is your gender. There was never the opportunity to change your gender until just the last few years. And the only reason that came about is because of the word tolerance that's got in our society in legislating sin. But there are other things that everybody would agree you can't change. You can't change your age. How many would like to? I wouldn't mind changing my age. So I mean, when I was 15, I just wanted to be 30 so bad. I mean, I identified with a 25-year-old when I was 12. Ask my mom. I never wanted to be the age I was. If I could just be older. It was always frustrating. I wanted to be older because I didn't identify with all the other people my age. But the fact was, I was my age. I mean, there was nothing I could do about it. It was frustrating, but I was what I was. Your race. You may be sitting here this morning going, well, I'm happy with my race. Well, not everybody is. Not everybody is, or they're frustrated that you're happy about your race. Whatever the case, there is an identity that comes from a racial standpoint, and I don't mean that in a bad light. I'm just saying that depending on what race you are in, but you can't change that. You are what you are. That's just what you are. You might want to be black. You're not. I've told my son-in-law that 100 times. You're not. You can go to a black church, but you're white. You can't change it. Your physical build. Woo, boy, I'd change that one. You can't change your physical build. You can lose some weight, but you can't get pretty when you're ugly. There ain't nothing you can do. You can't change. You are what you are. Well, I just want to look like Justin Bieber. You ain't ever going to. I don't want to. Well, good. But there'll be somebody in your life, you're like, well, he's good looking. I wish I looked like him. Well, she's good looking. I just wish she's so pretty. I wish I was that pretty. You are what you are. It's sad. I hate it for you. But see, there are certain things you can't change. And there are other things that you have the option to change. And some, the only way they will change is if you are born again. See, that's what we're missing in this whole talk. Because we cannot, as a Christian nation, continue to legalize sin and expect the blessings of God on our country. It doesn't happen that way. Amen. You can change things. Your nationality can change. Your profession, your identity as a professional in life can change. Your sexual identity, you can change your sexual identity. If you are straight, I choose to stay straight, and I encourage you highly to stay straight. But you can change your sexual identity. You can change your religious identity. See, you can change your class identity. But we're trying to change things that are not changeable or shouldn't be changeable. And here's what the Bible says about identity. Genesis 1:27. God created man in his own image. In his image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. Male and female. Why? I mean, it just got to be said. Male and female. You can't change that. There's X and Y chromosomes, and we've proven even if you get some operations, you are still the chromosomal makeup of what you are. You can't change it. You can get changed and probably go, that wasn't fun. I'm just telling you, you could do it, but it doesn't change. It may change the facial appearance, the outward appearance, but it won't change who you are, because you are who you are and your gender is unchangeable. I don't know why no one says that, but somebody's got to say it. I'm just going to tell you, you can't change it. You cannot change certain things. You can't change your race, your age, your gender, or your physical build. You can't do it. If you're big boned, you're always going to be big boned. So just the way it is. See, we miss this. Jeremiah 1:5, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. Jeremiah was told by God, I knew you before you were born, what you were going to be, and I had a purpose for you before then. God has a purpose for you before you even come out into this world. 1 Peter 2:9. You're a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellence of him who called you out of darkness into this marvelous light. See, that's who we are. Church, here's the deal. We have to start identifying more with Jesus. I understand that you were saved when you were 8 or 10 or 12 years old, but we got to grow in our maturity in the Lord. Why? So that we can present Jesus. We can represent him. We can present him to a world. We've got to provide Jesus to those that don't know him and a new way of thinking on identity. See, arguing this with someone with a worldview will do you no good until they know Jesus. You arguing something that ain't going to give any, I mean, you can't argue this because they're going to say, yes, you can change your gender. Yes, you can change your gender. And I'm here to tell you, no, you can't. Why? Because Genesis 1:27 says you can't. Well, what makes that credible? You need to be saved. And then you'll understand what I'm talking about. But without Jesus, you ain't going to get it. They've either been saved or they have been discipled into their true identity or they're a part of the world. James chapter 1, turn there with me. That's all the setup for my sermon today. That was funny, by the way. James chapter 1, I've got one verse. This letter is from James, a slave of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I am writing to the 12 tribes, Jewish believers scattered abroad. How in the world, Pastor, are you going to preach a message on that verse? Well, here's what I want you to know about this verse. This verse tells James' identity. It's his identity. First, he says, this is my identity in the world. This is my identity in the Lord. And this is my identity in the church. And as a Christian, if we don't have these three identities, then we're going to not win the battle in choosing how, that we're fighting in this world. You're not going to win it. If you can't identify in the world who you are, identify who you are in Christ, and identify who you are in the church, then the world don't have any hope. But praise God, you're in church this morning, there's hope for a lost and dying world. And you know what that hope is? It's Jesus. Well, how are they going to find out about it? You and me. That's it. So just for a little bit, let's look at James' identity. James was written by James. He's the one. He was the half-brother of Jesus. And when you study the book of James, you begin to see that each one of the discussions in the book of James is really an exposition of something James has heard before. He had heard Jesus talking about stuff. Think about it. James grew up with Jesus. Don't you think he heard a bunch? I mean, my kids grew up me being a preacher. Don't you think they heard a bunch? When you mature in the things of God, you talk a lot about the things of God. It becomes a lot of who you are, and people that are around you hear a bunch. James heard a bunch. But the thing is, when we read Scripture, we realize he didn't really get it all. James didn't really get it all. Now, if you read the book of James, you're like, man, he's pretty smart. But James wants everyone to know right here in verse 1 of chapter 1 of James, he wants everyone to know who he is. Let me ask you this today. What about you? Do you want everyone to know who you are? Pastor, are there times you're just like, I just really just keep my mouth shut. I don't want anybody to know who I am. Do you let people know who you really are? Maybe this morning you don't really know who you are. And so this, I'm going to take out of a public eye and put it right here where we're at. Who are we? I remember growing up, and I remember laying in bed at night when I was 12, 13, 14 years old, and some of you might identify with this. Not because you're me, not because you're stealing my identity, but because this speaks to where you were. But I remember laying there and thinking these words, who am I really? I mean, I'd like lay there and close my eyes and my mind would drift and I'd go like outside of who I am and try to see me from outside. I don't know if anybody else has ever done that. And you're just kind of, some of y'all are thinking, Pastor is really weird. And you're not going to nod at me because you don't want anybody else to know what I'm talking about. But you're just kind of thinking, who am I really? Who am I really? And not filling in the blank of all the things that you know you are, just even, why am I even here? Why am I even here? And just laying there and kind of thinking about it to yourself, maybe talking to God, maybe not talking to anybody. I just, those questions coming up in your mind, and I just don't really know who I am and what my purpose is and what's going on. I have a heart as pastor of this church for you to be able to identify yourself the right way. And if you've had those thoughts or you're having them right now, I want you to look at three aspects of your identity this morning. The first one is your identity in the world. James started off this verse in a simple way. He started it off the same way we would introduce ourselves. Hi, I'm James. Hi, I'm Ashley. So I mean, that's the way you do it. And you may not do it like that, but hi, I'm Ashley. Hi, I'm James. James is writing a letter. Hi, I'm James. And what he was saying is, that's my name that the world recognizes me by. That's my name that the world, see, our name is a reference to people in this world and how they know you. When they say your name, when they say Ashley Ellison, what comes to their mind? See, I think about that. What do people think when they hear the name Ashley Ellison? There are times I've said, you probably don't want to use my name. There are other times, tell them Ashley said to give you a call. So what do people think when your name is mentioned? What is your name to this world? See, there's got to be a reference to people in this world based on your name. Your name tells your story, tells your history, tells your reputation. Sometimes it can be hard to live up to your names. Sometimes it can be hard to live your name down. I mean, they're both ways here. See, but really, even though your name ties you to your family name, it oftentimes will start speaking louder the more people know you about your own person, not just your family. See, James was this way. His name spoke identity to the world. But you know that James, when he would introduce people, they'd go, that's Jesus' brother. That's Jesus' brother. And James is like, oh, I'm me. Well, how do I know that? See, James, let's talk about him. He came from a good home. He was born to Mary and Joseph after Mary gave birth to Jesus. And you can believe that James probably had a good upbringing, can't you? I mean, just if you think about it, he was raised by the parents who God entrusted Jesus with. So I'm guessing they're probably pretty good parents. I mean, really, they entrusted Jesus with him. So James probably had a good growing up. He had common sense. As you read the book of James, he shows in simple illustrations. I mean, the term rudder, horses bit and bridle and all that come from James. And so as you understand, his illustrations make him really easy to understand, which means he had common sense. He had a really good brother. Physically, he was closer to Jesus than any other man. What a benefit. So when you know all of this, you start to know a little bit about James and his identity in the world. Church, James had all the benefits of the world. He had all the benefits of the world a good home, a good education, good sense, good common sense, good brother. He walked physically as close to Jesus as anyone ever possibly did. But that didn't help him when you read about him in his life. John chapter 7, verse 5 says that Jesus' brothers didn't believe him. James didn't believe Jesus. That's his own brother. Mark 6, 3 says that Jesus' family, including James, was offended at him. Offended at him. Mark 3, 21, even though the King James says friends, it really means family, and it says Jesus' family tried to grab a hold of him because they thought he was crazy. James tried to grab his brother because they thought he was crazy. Man, this guy's crazy. See, according to his identity in the world, James had every benefit in the world and still didn't recognize Jesus as who he is. You know, you can have every benefit of church, a great family, a good home, a good education. You can still have your identity messed up. Be separated from God. Whatever kind of upbringing you've had, whatever education, see, however close you've been physically to God, to his people, and to his church, you can still have your identity messed up. James did. So the second thing with your identity, and the aspect of it here is your identity in the Lord. He says he's a servant of God and the Lord Jesus right here in the first chapter of James. He means that after all that the world had identified him for, now he's saying, hey guys, nope. I now identify with Jesus. I want everybody to know that. When did this happen? As I was reading, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time preaching on this, but he says, when the cross of Jesus took place and he died, was buried, and resurrected, you read in Acts where James got a hold of the story and said, okay. Now, I don't have time to go back and read all that and teach it. You can go back and study it and see if I'm wrong. But here's the thing. He came to a point of recognizing, I am no longer going to identify with this world. I'm going to identify with Jesus. Today, I ask you, have you done that? And you say, yep, I have. I identify with Jesus. I'm associated with Jesus. That's my identity. Well, here's what he says. He says he's a slave. Read that right there. James chapter 1. A slave of God and of the Lord Jesus. Now, I think it's very important to understand this before we close today. Slavery was very common in James' day. As a matter of fact, it's been very common in every day except ours in the past 150 years. Very common. So when he was talking, the people knew what he was talking about. And did you know there are two kinds of slaves? And once again, when you start reading the Greek and Hebrew, you start going, wow, I didn't really understand all this. But the more you read, the more you're like, wow, this is amazing. One kind of slave was the kind we always think of, the one who was bought or sold at an auction block. You know, went and rounded up and said, here, get in here and we're going to sell you. And see, the captured in battle and forced to serve. But that's not the one James was using in his illustration when he started off the letter. I find this very interesting. The second kind means a person who was born into slavery or a person who willingly continued in slavery. See, there was a law that was set up that in 6 to 7 years, they had to free their slaves and give them the option of going. And then if the slave said, no, I want to work for you and be here the rest of my life forever, that was their choice. And they could make that choice. That's the kind of slave that he was talking about. He didn't have to serve Jesus. He chose to. Today, you don't have to serve him, but have you chosen to? That's where our world's messed up. They haven't chose the right answer. So they're not going to have the right conclusion. Their conclusion is going to be messed up. See, this is the type of person who was willing to continue in slavery. James was willing to continue in the things of God. He said, my body is permanently marked as a willing slave of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to see this again because our theme this year, Jesus is Lord. That's why he was able to say the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he had made Jesus not just Savior, but Lord. Lord. God didn't just save James to give him a place in heaven. And I don't know what background you're from this morning, but I want to encourage you because I think a lot of people mess this up. They just get saved so that they can have eternal life. That's a great thing. But God saved James to give him a purpose not only for heaven, but here on earth. And that's why there's another aspect to his identity. And he gives that in this sentence that we didn't see probably when we read it, but he gave him an identity in the church. Well, how do you say that, Pastor? Because he was writing the church. Yep, verse 1, second part, he says, I'm writing to the 12 tribes, Jewish believers scattered abroad. And he's writing them to tell them, here's a word for you. Here's what I'm telling you today. If you'll find your identity in the world, and everybody's already got that, but make sure that your identity that other people are seeing is lined up with the Lord. And the way you do that is you find your identity in the Lord. And church, you can't forget this third step. It's the most important of all of them. You've got to find your identity in the church. If you never find your identity in the church, then you're going to miss what God has for so many others. It wasn't a benefit primarily to James to find his identity. It was an identity to the 12. It was a benefit to the 12 tribes that James found his identity. What I'm saying, the reason why we're building onto this building is so that people here won't find their identity. It's so people who don't have an identity with Christ yet will find theirs. See, that's why we're here this morning, is so we can go out of here, be empowered, be equipped to go out and help people who don't have an identity with the Lord, who don't have an identity with the church, find that. And the way they're going to find it is because we got a bunch of people who have. We got a bunch of people who have. So you are responsible for that. James was writing them because he had accepted his identity. He tells them about it. He tells them, here's who I was, here's who I am. All of this, I'm James, I'm a servant of Jesus. Now here's what I got for you. All three of those are identities. And I think it's important we see that. When the Lord saves you, he gives you certain gifts and he expects you to use those in service to him. Not out on your own as a Lone Ranger. I'm a Lone Ranger Christian. Even the Lone Ranger had Tonto. Everybody needs somebody, and what I'm telling you is you need the church as a Christian. Amen. In his church, you see the gifts that he gives everyone, and they're for the building up of his body, the church. My gifts are different than yours. I get that. Your gifts to build things and do things and build me up, and I'm to build you up, but we use our giftings to do that. So how did God gift James? He gifted him to be a pastor. Not everybody's gifted to be a pastor, and I get that. But Peter's sermon in Acts chapter 2 started the church in Jerusalem, and James became the leader, and he used the gifts that God gave him to pastor the people. Today I ask you, the world is identifying with things they don't need to identify with, but they don't have an option without Jesus. Gender identity is an option before Jesus. But after Jesus, there's no option. When you hear the word tolerance, make sure you define what that means. Okay, I'm okay to tolerate somebody slurping their coffee, but I'm not okay to tolerate sin. See, you can't just leave one word out there to cover all subjects. It doesn't apply. And the same thing with identity. And I'm going to talk more and more about this because I think it's very important that we understand it. But identity is everything. It's everything. And when someone says they're a man and they identify as a woman, what I'm telling you is you've got to understand biblically that can't happen. No more than it can with race. But the only way you're going to understand that is if you're identified by your name, if you're identified in the Lord Jesus and you're identified in the church. Does all this kind of come together and make sense this morning? We've got to teach this and we've got to get people to understand it. If you are dealing with situations at your work and you have a sit down with somebody at your work, look up this podcast and have someone listen to it and say, hey, I want to, because I understand there are two views, and this one will explain my view. Because I know it may be real hard to be able to go back and say everything I've said, but you could get a CD, you could get on podcast and write it down and get this to where you could communicate it. Because church, I'm just telling you, if we don't get a hold of this identity in the Lord quick, our world is going to identify with someone other than the Lord, and that's what's happening. That's not going to bless our country. We got work to do. So when you leave here today, it's not just another good sermon. Let's go get it. Get in this world and get in this world and present Jesus.
We hope that you've been blessed, encouraged, and motivated by today's message. For more messages or information about Christian Ministries Church, go to www.cmchurch.net.